I'll read another poem, kind of grim. In fact, Stach Grimm said it's a grim book. It's all about migrant workers and immigrants. And so, fortunately, we have our man reading funny poems and lyrical poems, so it's okay to have a woman reading the dark, grim poems. It's called Dust Angels. There are about 250 million Chinese peasants in China, making everything for the world. And so basically, all the countryside, the whole village often is just empty, and all the young men and young women leave home and leaving the elders and children behind. And they go into the coastal, now they go into the interior, the west, and the west mountains, and into this very primitive workshops and factories to make things. And they would work for a few years and, apology for my fashion, it was really cold there. to make products for the world, and they have no insurance, and after a few years they just get really sick and die. So this is a poem about silicosis in the lungs. Dust angels, stars, diamonds, tears of hearts, sand and cut and sand, shrouded in silicon fog, we stream beauty with corn-crushing hands. Bracelets, necklace, rings, day and night, night and day. We bend over screeching wheels, making trinkets for USA. Saints, gods, Buddha, rush down the belt at a dizzying speed. A quarter cent apiece, the price of our hands, a nation's pride. A civilization eating us alive. Opal, malachite, topaz, stones from deep in earth, sold cheap at Walmart. Our lungs harden from quartz crystals. Our lives weigh less than dust. We cough and wheeze, walking half a block. We gasp for air. They say we fake our sickness, have never worked in their factories. They hire lawyers to erase our names, ban our union. Marks and mar our history, they claim. Only freedom of market economy, the golden path towards democracy. No money to go home, no face to see parents, wives, husbands, children. All bridges collapsed. We loiter in hospitals, courts. We pray not to die in this strange land. Dust angels, who wear the stars and hearts strung with our tears? Who makes a fortune from our wretched breath? Who will see us? Of all the Buddhas and saints carved out of our bodies, all the eyes of Mary and Jesus painted in our blood. Everything was done, just with machine. The only thing that's hand painted was the eyes, the tears in the eyes of Mary and Jesus, because the Western customers are very particular about the expression.
All right, I'll bring a little darkness in. I have some, the Haida people are of Southeast Alaska, and they're in the bioregion that I live in. I live in Seattle and have since 88, although I'm a Midwesterner, grew up in Chicago, but fascinated by some of the native mythology, and this is based on some of that. This is after a Haida tale told by Robert Bringhurst, and the name of the poem is "The Day the Weather Decided to Die." The epigraph is by Ramon Gomez de la Serna, And it is on hearing the wooden rumble of thunder, we realize that we are situated below the platform of the sky. What constitutes a good family, they say, and give instructions to servants under the backdrop of the hugest sucking sound in history, prelude to when the wind did no longer rumble from under the skirt of the great Ma, no longer float a blue heron's hacho side lumber, no longer sustain. Age of celebrity tattoo news of the rise of Yurok, Duwamish, Tsimshian, Haida, Puyallup, Muckleshoot, Musqueam of tornadoes, hurricanes, earthquakes, tsunamis, bee silence, Fukushima, and Fukushimas to come. The weather born out of cockleshell embryo or out of snot, weather that hunts birds and sends winds out in the skins of blue jay, weather that steals hats of campesinos, compassions for kicks, weather that would sprout houses when adopted by a master carver, weather that would be a scholar of carving. The weather, when painted, would sit facing the sea, would weep for owls with spots in the new northward range of dolphins' neighborhood, weather that would warn of the big ones who think of biting, weather whose big fish story is dried halibut and waits and waits and waits for a shift in settler rituals. It could start with today is a good day to die. Start with the inheritance of the campesino, compression, who opened up about his daily prayers for humility, or when he, the one born in a cockle shell, would dress as wren and sit way above the sea as a cumulus cloud, waiting to see what his latihan would bring, dance, song, chant, or something much more cathartic just beyond his outstretched wings. Remember, crows, your brother, stumps never lie. We hold up the sky.
I'll read a couple more. This one's called Middle School. I couldn't wash the stare from my hair as you walked toward me from the electric chair, but I wanted to look just right for my first day of school. I loved the way you were leaned against the wall of my monkey mind, punk rocker, waiting for a church to save you. Or was it a date you waited for, there, in the cafeteria, betrayed by me, your external reality? I saw you, rage, enter the front door of my mind's eye, proud in a trench coat and sunglasses, tearing down paper skies, signs of the cross with my name on them, off walls of my forehead. Despite the dawning sun on my sleeves, the hallway felt like Mob Brain's arm extended to slam my locker, the length of my throat closed, once hearted with a smile. I felt I had certain privileges for my popularity, being number one. The devil, peer pressure, had told me so in the outer locker room, and all you could do was wait, trapped outside of yourself. Thanks. And I'm going to read the last section of a poem called Space is Money. And I'm going to start with a line from Eddie Cochran. Every shadow I see is my looking glass. The air is as thin here as the bones of lightning's clouds when they've had their way with darkness. An unexpected storm covers the sun like the body that an evangelist prays for their second coming to earth to be in after dying a noble, holy war death. So when Christ comes back to rule over his chosen ones in the Middle East, I guess, he'll first order the cleanup of the mess left by the apocalypse. To bulldoze surreal mask horse heads, trees made from the veins of oil well hearts, pumping blood geysers, and flesh window shades over eyes into landfills with judgment day-sized flies. The bodies of chosen ones are bubbling and melting across window panes, dream lids opening. Waking up from a dream of mushroom cloud pictured dollar bills on mile-long assembly line factory conveyor belts, Angel Muse stands at the edge of the Golden City. Her devil boss, Christ's disguise, guards the entrance with a sword door, the shadows of which are sentences. He is her brother. His feet are firmly planted on the ground, a hermaphrodite whose bottom half is male. He is the creation of the Word. Those who accept that God is the only destruction that isn't sin will be able to enter when the creation of a given inhale dies for the last time in this life. Angel, who is always slightly elevated above the ground, is the threshold between time becoming internal space. It's her who accesses the outer earthly world through the opening at the top of her head, which also opens the heart of her wings. Energy itself, it seems, is that expansion where creation dies and poetry begins. Thanks.
Making repairs. Once, a broken little boy lay scattered by the roadside when along came a little girl carrying a toolkit. Feeling sorry for the little boy, she searched for what would make him whole. Among the gravel, she found his eyes. In the ditch, his heart. After wringing it out, she placed his heart in the pile with the rest of his parts. Not knowing how he was before, the little girl improvised and put the little boy back together as she thought he should be. The little boy wasn't as he was before, but so happy to no longer be broken. He thanked the little girl and loved her for all she'd done. The little girl basked in the little boy's love. Meanwhile, her kit grew dusty and the tools began to rust. Upon seeing this, she remembered how she met the little boy, what she did for him, and why. When the little girl left him, the little boy was broken again, but differently. Out of sync. There was a young girl with a clock built into her midriff. The clock ran so slow that she never finished what she started and always arrived late to her destination. Because of this, life always moved on to the next stage without her. There was a young boy who walked backward. They met and walked together. The girl complained no one understood her or appreciated all she did. Perhaps, the boy said, it's because you're doing for them things they no longer need. What? Everything would fall apart without me. Everything would have, but it's much later now, and that time is past. The girl scoffed. You're the one walking backward. All you can see is where you've been. You're the one living in the past. The boy shook his head. I need to walk backward sometimes to catch my breath. Why? Because when I go forward, I can only run. the boy demonstrated. As the young girl watched him disappear, it became much later.